It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Toucher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Schefter with the report that Brady has yet to commit to playing next season. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, good morning. So we've got a rebuilding year coming up in front of us. I truly believe that Tom does want to play another year or two because he wants to sell his TB12 method, or he wants people to see 42-year-old Tom, 43-year-old Tom. I think if you're Bill, you look at what you've got, you look at what you can count on, you've got your four draft picks. You've got Gronk, you've got Tom, and you've got Edelman. Excuse me. I think you put everything on the table. You trade Tom, you trade Gronk.
Oh, jeez, are we having this discussion? Are we really having this discussion?
Why not?
Because you just started off by saying we're looking at a bridge year. Is that what you said at the beginning of this call?
I said we are going to look at a bridge year in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yes, but for these 2 to 3 years, you have the best quarterback. You have the MVP of the league, and you want to trade him? You have the best tight end of all time, and you want to trade him?
Yes.
Why? What could you possibly do? You're giving up a chance to have at least 2 more years of a Super Bowl run, potentially win a Super Bowl.
To be honest, I'd trade Gronkowski.
Well, Gronkowski...
If the offer was good enough, I'd trade him.
I still wouldn't, and I think you make special concessions for him. But that's not trading Tom Brady. That's on two completely different scales. You're saying that you... So what's your ceiling? What's your ceiling this year or the next 2 years if you trade both of them? What are you going to get? A guy out of the draft who's going to win you a Super Bowl? Is that what you're expecting? Who are you going to replace Gronk with? How are you going to get the same kind of numbers he's going to get? What's your ultimate plan for the next 2 years? And why is it worth giving up two more runs to the Super Bowl? What are you going to get back that's worth that?
I'll tell you, you've got 3 years of Bill Belichick to be able to rebuild the team that he wants to build, and then you lose Bill Belichick. If you lose Brady and Belichick in the same year, what are you going to have?
Then don't lose Brady. You got both of them next year. Why were you so quick to get rid of any of them?
Because I'm tired of listening to Brady talk about TB12. It's not about Brady.
He can talk all he wants as long as he takes this team to Super Bowls. Who cares what he's doing? I know that there's tension back there, and they need to work it out so he'll continue to play. But you betrayed Tom Brady because it's a bridge year and you want to work for years. You have that chance this year and next year. Why do you want to get rid of it? This is insane.
No, well, if he's threatening to retire... I mean, you can call his bluff. I don't think that this is that
No,
crazy.
You don't call his bluff. You say, yep, you're right. You're the one with power here. We need you. What can we do to make this better?
And then if
there's
I'm
certain
Belichick,
times where you just got to suck it up and go, sorry, let's make this work.
I'm not positive Belichick wanted to be the quarterback this year in his ultimate plan.
Yeah, you probably, well, listen, maybe Garoppolo is the guy. But right now, it's not anybody else other than, I mean, it's not going to be any kind of realistic replacement.
If you
want Tom Brady because it's not, to tell you what, he's not going to want to start he's not going to obviously want Brian Hoyer, but sure as hell is he going to want to start any of these guys in the draft over Tom Brady.
No, I mean, they made the Super Bowl last year, but if things got out of control, I certainly would think about trading Gronkowski if he started to become a big problem. Because I don't know how many years he's got left. I don't know what kind of condition he's in. That would, I mean, if Gronkowski just goes crazy and, like, makes all these demands and they feel like they can't.
See, Gronk's an easy solution to me. Give him $2 million more a year, and I guarantee he'll be happy. Gronk's easy.
I would give
him on board.
I would do it as well. I would give him money. But if he started playing super hardball with me, I mean, I don't think you can get a first-round pick for him, but, I mean, if I could get a high second-rounder for him.
He's all but told everyone via Twitter and via retweeting Deion Sanders' stupid tweets about it being a business is that it's just cash. That's all he wants, more cash.
That's fine.
Pay the guy cash. He's worth it. He's worth it.
I would agree. But it would not be the craziest thing in the world or the worst thing in the world if he just became a malcontent that you could go, all right, I'm going to get rid of you for a high second-round pick. John, you don't think they get a first-round pick for him?
For Gronkowski?
Yeah.
I think they can get a low first round pick for him.
He's all a right, good deal.
Six, I think they can absolutely. I mean, right, six, I understand, one half dozen, I understand so he's injury riddled and there's that risk, but he is the best tight end in the history of the game. He's still in his 20s.
Yeah, but I don't know how long he's going to play. I don't know how many games he's going to play.
You still get a first round pick for him.
Like 28th. Fine.
Maybe higher than that. I do. You're not going to get a top 10 for him, but I think anywhere between 820 and the bottom, sure you can.
All right,
I bet
well, you it's can. Basically like a high second round pick.
If Gronk can put you over the top,
we're
sure
not
you can.
We're not that far off. I don't. I wouldn't give him a 20 for him, but I would. But I mean, late first round, early second round. Fair enough. It's basically the same thing. Dan, go ahead.
I think I'm coming from the perspective of fan fatigue here. But if Tom Brady were to come out and retire, I almost feel like there's a little bit of a silver lining, because if I think back on the Atlanta Super Bowl, aside from the deficit they overcame, you know, the big victory there was that this organization was structurally sound through controversy and could still win. And this stupid thing just seems to keep plaguing them and plaguing them. And I agree with you guys. It seems like it's crossed the point of no return of dysfunction. So if we enter this dysfunctional season and it festers and it's a losing season, or, you know, something happens, I feel like this bears to be like an asterisk on a, you know, on the dynasty when you look back. If I don't want Brady to retire, but if he came out and did it today, I think at least you say, all right, you know, you saved yourself from that, from marring the reputation of the dynasty.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he retires, he retires. He's 41 years old. I mean, if he doesn't feel like playing football anymore, that's fine. And then if you're Belichick, I wonder if Brady retires, I wonder if Belichick quits. In that, you made me trade Garoppolo.
And now he's done. Well, maybe it's Brady's last FU.
Because I would, right. Because
you don't want him in here? I'm going to retire.
And
good luck.
And he retired partially because I wouldn't let his dumb trainer on the plane. Like, I mean, give me a break here. If I'm Belichick, I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you think all the other teams in the AFC East are going to have a parade when Tom Brady retires?
Yes. I think the other teams in the AFC East aren't going to win.
still may not win.
Oh, really?
Who they are.
Even if Warriors a quarterback.
Who's going to win?
It doesn't matter. They wouldn't have a parade. They're just that dumb.
Who's going to win the AFC East? No, seriously.
Let me think.
Who's
the second best team in the AFC East at this point?
It was Buffalo last year, but they don't have a quarterback.
Tannehill back, but then Miami just gutted their franchise. Yes. They got rid of everybody.
Yeah. Now, it might be addition by
Buffalo. Buffalo might be the
but
second
Buffalo
best
doesn't
team.
Have a quarterback.
I know.
And if even if they, and they have to,
well,
by
let's
the way,
see who they draft well, this year okay. after they trade up.
Okay, but you know, to trade up, they're going to have to trade up twice.
Yes, I do. And from all indications, okay. they are going to.
Well, all I know is that the Giants are up for business because apparently they don't want a quarterback. So, so Buffalo's going to have to mortgage a ton.
Yep.
To get a quarterback.
Yes.
So
correct.
So you got a quarterback.
They're going to wind up with Sam Darnold at two or wherever they trade up to.
If they do that,
yes.
they've mortgaged a ton to get that quarterback.
More than likely.
And then, yes. so there's going to be not a whole lot of talent surrounding.
But Sam Darnold, one of these three major quarterbacks, they
eventually.
Are, no, right now, they draft a guy in the top five right now with that quarterback. They are the second best team in the AFC.
Oh, yeah.
AFC. That was my point entirely. Doesn't matter okay. what they mortgage. Even with whether it be Allen, Rosen, Darnold, whoever they take, Baker Mayfield, whoever they choose to take, after trading up into the top five, trading twice to get into the top five, they are still the second best team in the AFC East.
Yeah, and they might be 7-9
mm-hmm.
and maybe. The second best team in the AFC East.
Correct.
Because if the Jets get a quarterback...
When the Jets get a quarterback,
if they are remotely right, I think that they have a structure where they could eventually, like in 2 years, they could be...
Yeah, they have the head coach.
Like
so
10-6, 11-5.
They have the head coach. They're clearly going in the right direction.
I like Bulls. A lot of people
yeah,
don't.
I do too.
But they're at least a couple years away. So I think the Patriots still win the AFC East even without Brady. And you know they're not going to stick with Hoyer. They'll go find someone.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're going to trade up into the top 10 and take Josh Rosen, right?
According to our next guest.
Toucher.
Oh, my God.
And Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jason LaConfora obviously covers the NFL for CBS Sports. And he has a mock draft, and with this information about the troubles Brady's having and his non-commitment to play football this year, maybe he is a soothsayer of sorts. Jason Lockenfora, hello, sir.
How's it going?
It's going well, and I found your mock draft to be very interesting. But let's start with what applies to here. Is you have the Patriots trading up to the Raiders spot at 10 and taking Josh Rosen. Two-part question. Why would they do that and give up that draft capital, and why would Josh Rosen fall that far?
Well, first of all, I would just say that at the point they made the Cooks trade, everything I was hearing inside that organization and out was that, you know, they didn't just do that to, like, hope maybe a quarterback, you know, hanging around in the late 20s where they might kind of, like, and it wasn't to get, like, the fourth best corner and, you know, the fourth best offensive lineman in a draft that doesn't have many stud offensive linemen. It was to try to be in position to do something significant to set this franchise up, you know, long term. And if the right quarterback was there, and I think the guy they probably like the most is Baker Mayfield. I just don't see them going up that far to get him. And it just, and you know, this was, I wouldn't even call this a mock draft. This is more just an exercise in how the top 10 might unfold if we assume Allen goes one. I mean, I'll know a whole lot more next week, frankly, than I do right now. But in this scenario, I had a couple of trades taking place. And, you know, I think the Bills are definitely moving up. I know Denver's open to moving down, and the Giants are open to moving down, but I don't think Gettleman wants to go all the way to 12. I think he'd like to end up a few spots down. And I had the Bills trading back twice, trading up twice, I should say, to get Darnold at 2. And then you've got a bunch of teams coming after, you know, from 4 till 9. Nobody's in the quarterback market for the most part, assuming Denver, you know, doesn't take a quarterback or trades down. So in that case, somebody's going to still be there. And at what point is the value there? And there's knocks against Rosen, but I also have evaluators who think Rosen's the best quarterback in this draft. And I don't think John Gruden, you know, he's done some off-the-chart stuff since he's come back. And I have a feeling Bill Belichick could work something out with Gruden where maybe you're not paying an incredible king's ransom. And I don't know that Gruden's going to love all the options there at 10. And I could see him being interested in draft capital at other places on the board as well. So, you know, it's just one potential scenario. I do know Oakland is a team I've heard at 10 that's willing to do something. So with Rosen there, you know, I just figured, hey, this might make sense. You know, why would Rosen fall? It's just a numbers game. I mean, again, in this scenario, I had the Bills doing something pretty dramatic to go and get Darnold. And by doing so, two teams who people think might be in the quarterback market, the Giants and the Broncos, moved out. So in that case, if that were to actually happen in real life, then somebody's fallen. I don't think it's Allen. I don't think it's Mayfield. I don't think it's Darnold.
All right, so it's interesting. So what you've been hearing, because it's very un-Patriots-like, is that these two picks are going to be used. They want to get someone of a higher value, and that they definitely want to move up.
I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen.
No, but that's the
scenario that they are interested in. It's got to be something that makes sense. It would have to be a move for a player at the right spot who they feel very comfortable with. And look, could they address needs at the back of this first round? Absolutely. You saw the defections in free agency, you know, and you've got a quarterback who's near the end and a tight end who I think will be back, but will probably be year to year from here on out. And you lost a corner who got benched, but still was your top corner at various times the last 3 years. And, you know, you traded a wide receiver and you lost a left tackle. That's just off the top of my head. So could they stay there and get a few guys? Yeah. But you find one evaluator in this league who thinks there's more than 18 to 22 first-round picks in this draft. You know, guys who in any year would be first-round grades. So if that's the case, and you're at 23 and 31 or whatever, I mean, you're getting players and you know, you've got opportunities there, and it's one more bite at the apple, but what are you getting? You know, that's the key. Would they fill immediate roles on this particular roster? Sure, but are they just guys?
All right, Jason. So this is a strange situation that Patriots fans are not used to, and that is the bit of chaos that we're dealing with the offseason. And it seems like the powers that be are all playing chicken. You've got Rob Gronkowski, who has, in more ways than one, intimated that he wants more money just from the things that he's been tweeting and retweeting. He wants more cash. Then you've got Tom Brady. This morning, the story came out from Adam Schefter that he is not committed to playing in 2018. There's people who are close to him who are trying to get him to retire. And then you have Bill Belichick and everything going on with Alex Guerrero. How do you make this stop? How do you make all parties happy when you have such strong personalities such as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski all seeming to disagree?
Well, this is an ownership thing. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Fame coach, the greatest player in NFL history, and a Hall of Fame tight end. And I think some of this is certainly money, and some of it is ego, and some of it is just sort of the natural process. I mean, I used to cover hockey. I covered the Detroit Red Wings. They don't win a Stanley Cup for 42 years. They win back-to-back Stanley Cups. You know, it wasn't the sustained run while I was there that the Patriots had. But within 3 or 4 years, everybody, you know, everybody's chest is bowed up a little bit more, and everybody thinks they had more, you know, the most to do with the success. And that, I think, was going to catch up to them at some point. I still think they've got a run or two left in them, but, you know, ownership's going to have to pull some people together here. They're going to have, you know, maybe Belichick has to lighten his ways a little bit. Maybe Belichick announces at some point that he's going to be a Bill Parcells football czar type person, and maybe Josh McDaniels is the kinder, gentler next coach of the Patriots. Now, I don't know how much he'd be working with Brady and Gronk at that point, but maybe that's how you eventually send the signal to the locker room. I expect Brady and Gronk to both play next year. And they know they have to pony up for Gronk. He's not going to be anybody's value play anymore, injury risk or not. He's got to become, you know, the highest paid tight end in the game. And I think they understand that. And even with Brady, I mean, it's not out of the, I mean, again, he's near the end, he's 40, whatever. But in years past, once he gets a couple years out, there would be some conversation. So why not sweeten the pot for Tom Brady as well, given all that he's done? Just make the overture. I don't think that one's as much about money, but if his wife and some people close to him are pulling him a little bit, then, you know, extend some sort of olive branch. Let him know explicitly just what you think of him and how much more one ring for everybody would matter.
So if Kraft was responsible for Belichick getting rid of Garoppolo, do you think it's wise for Kraft to get involved in this situation? Because I just see that pissing Belichick off again.
I mean, what were they going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo? What am I missing here? Through this whole thing, they had to trade him. I mean, what were they going to franchise him?
Yeah. Yep.
They were?
Yeah.
And keep him.
Yeah.
As a backup quarterback for $20 million.
I don't think that was ever going to happen.
I mean, that's something that was an option. I mean, they could
it
do
was
that.
An option, but I don't think they were going to do that.
And team building. Then what are you going to do to Tom Brady's contract? And then you got the same agent with both guys. Like, do you really think Tom Brady's going to make less money than the backup quarterback?
Well, now you're at a point where you might be losing Tom Brady.
He's 41 years old. You're going to lose him at some point.
That's why it wasn't the worst idea to franchise him.
You don't send him to Canton by keeping a backup quarterback at the expense of your current roster where you're still trying to win with Brady and paying him more than Brady in case Brady gets hurt.
Well, you can say that all you want, but look what's going on right now. Now you've got a quarterback who is threatening to retire, and what do you have?
The belief with a lot of people around here is that Belichick wanted to move on from Brady and wanted to play Garoppolo. That's just the belief of a lot of people here.
I think if Tom Brady had given them any signs of slowing down, that Belichick would have been willing to do that, but he didn't. He was the MVP last year, and if you don't trade him by the deadline, then you're going to try to pull the Matt Castle and franchise him to trade him. But now you're carrying a guy into cap compliance, possibly. You know, when you already don't, I mean, they wouldn't even be cap compliant. How many guys would you have to cut to keep Garoppolo, who you're probably going to have to trade anyway if Brady still plays? Like, I never bought that scenario. Where they screwed up was not having an auction for him at this time last year, a week before the draft.
Sure, now that we agree on.
Sashi Brown would have given you 8 picks for him. Right. Like, you could have had him over a barrel, and that's how you could have set yourself up. But they didn't want to keep him in the conference, and they were too cute there. But the idea that he was ever going to be on their roster at this time in 2018 was ridiculous. As to Kraft and what you want him to do and not to do, he's got to massage egos at this point. Like, he's at the top of that pyramid. I mean, I'm not saying I want him walking in the draft meeting and saying, do this and do that. I'm not talking about football decisions. But giving Gronk a blank check, you probably have to do that. Getting Brady and Belichick in a room together and having an airing of grievances and, you know, hey, what happens in this room stays in this room, but nobody's leaving this room until, you know, everybody's gotten everything off their chest. They need to get off their chest. That's leadership to me.
Does today's news that Adam Schefter is tweeting out that Tom Brady is not yet fully committed to playing in 2018, whether that be a ploy for extra cash salary-wise or that he wants to spend more time with his family, do you think that alters the Patriots' draft plans at all for next week?
Look, I'm just going to go back to what I reported when the Cooks thing happened, which was they were ready to make plans for tomorrow today. And did they still assume Brady would be here for a year? Yeah, but at 41, 42, he could get hurt at any point. The end could come at any point. And, you know, they don't have a plan B. And getting a plan B is pretty important. What do I think this is about? I mean, look, I think he's going to play, and I think at some point he'll come out, you know, come back and say, oh, there was nothing to any of that stuff. But there's a lot of passive-aggressive stuff going on right now. What is the direction of this franchise? Look at all the players they lost. How are we getting better? When are you going to address this Gronk thing? Because why should I show up until you make things right with Gronk? Because I lost Cooks, and, you know, Mitchell's always been hurt, and who am I throwing the ball to this year, you know? I mean, Edelman's a stud, yeah, but he's coming off another injury, and he's a year older. So I think it's some of that going on, where he's kind of sitting back saying, well, I'm not in any rush, because let me see what these guys are doing. I mean, yeah, I'm probably playing, but what's going on in Foxborough right now?
All right, well, very quick, what quarterback do you like the most in this draft?
There's warts with all of them, man. There's no sort of thing. I mean, there's no Luck, there's no Wentz. You know, it's just, that's not the case. I would be inclined to roll the dice with Baker Mayfield because I think he checks enough boxes, and if you feel like he will mature, and you see some Russell Wilson stuff in him in terms of the physical play, because he played so much in college and he was so productive, I'm intrigued by him. Not that I'm not intrigued by other ones, but if you made me pick one, I'd say Baker Mayfield.
I agree. All right, Jason Luck and Forth, thank you for the time. CBS Sports' Zone, we appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, thank you. Rich, we have the stack coming up to everyone's great pleasure. What will we talk about?
An NFL superstar auditioned for Monday Night Football and failed horribly.
I heard about that.
It was because he was not wearing his Wranglers.
Big market tease, Fred. Let's not blow the big market tease.
Well, if you're a fan of Wranglers, I think you already if you get the Wranglers newsletter, you already knew about this. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up, stack, stack, stack it up. 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
It's no secret that I'm a big fan of John Gruden, the broadcaster. And you know what, to be honest, this time of year, I really miss him. And it's not just because Gruden's quarterback camp was fun to watch because he obviously went a little nuts on a few of them, Spider 2Y Banana, but you legitimately got to learn a little bit about all these guys that everyone's talking about in the upcoming draft. You don't have that right now. I thought they were going to replace him with somebody else, like Russell Wilson's quarterback camp. Wasn't that what they were going to do? Wasn't Russell Wilson?
I remember you saying something about that.
It's boring.
Which I was like, that's an awful replacement, mm-hmm. but I haven't seen that. This would about be the time you would see it, wouldn't it be?
Yep. If Charles Manson wasn't dead, they should have done Charles Manson.
Quarterback camp.
It's like, and here's Baker Mayfield. Damn it, I'm Jesus Christ.
I'm Jesus Christ. You know what? The police are like a circle, and you're sitting there with a knife and stabbing.
That just would have been great.
Quarterback camp with Charles Manson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have
that ball, check.
I don't know. I got nothing else.
Okay. Well, that's a very nice little burnt thing you got on your forehead there, Mr. Manson. Shut up, woman! So either way, you've got a bunch of people trying out for Gruden's spot, and it has been apparently a revolving door of names I had not even heard until yesterday, including Booger McFarland. You a big fan of Mr. Booger?
No, he's disgusting. Okay. He's always picking his nose.
Also, on top of that, Jason Witten, Greg Olsen, even though they're both under contract to play next season.
Wow, they sound real exciting.
Mr. Personality, Jason Witten.
He wants to play until he's 40. I just read.
Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, boy, these are real home run attempts. Matt Hasselbeck is the worst.
Joe Thomas. Another name they were throwing out there?
Well, he was known in Cleveland as being quite the auteur.
Mm-hmm. So, but one person who did come in, according to sources, he went in for an audition, and apparently he sucked pretty bad. That would be Mr. Brett Favre.
He cries at the end of every broadcast.
Think it's his last. I wonder if he had his sweet, very medically sound copper bracelet on.
Copper fit.
Yeah,
I love my copper fit.
You know, when I retired, I decided I was just going to sell any piece of garbage that they gave me money for. You know, copper's been proven by nobody to have a lot of effects.
Just a sleeve I put on my elbow.
I got sick of just wrapping pennies around my hand. This copper fit's not only ugly in a metal that no one really wants to show off, it actually also has no medical benefit whatsoever.
So according to the New York Post, they say, though it was unclear if Favre would even want the job, sources said he was not great during the tryout and has been told that he is no longer under consideration. So late yesterday, Favre tweeted that he had a good meeting with ESPN and was intrigued by the opportunity, but he wasn't sure if he wanted to do it even if ESPN had chosen
him. That's right. That's why he went to Bristol.
I broke up with her because she broke up with me.
That's why he went from his Hickman, Mississippi town all the way to ESPN.
I want to clear something up from today's press on me and ESPN. Along with my copper fit, truth is that I had a good meeting about possibly joining the MMF crew.
I just turned my butt like the cover of Faith and just shook it around, Wranglers.
He said, I was intrigued when they called, yet not sure I wanted to pursue a broadcasting career right now. I wish them the best of luck and a great season.
Yeah, he's got so much going on. It's Brett Favre for tough skins. I'm a man of means.
Tough skins are the best. When I was a kid, you could have shot a bullet at those things and it wouldn't have gone through it.
Yeah, tough skins was one thing that you couldn't get away with at my school.
That's all that was in my school. And I had them on all the time. And my mom would always buy like a stack of patches to put on the knees. She would like iron them on the knees.
If you're patching up tough skins, you're not living right.
We were not very wealthy, yes. The opposite of whatever wealthy is.
The best day of elementary school is when Matt Wolf came to school in the Michael Jackson jacket. Oh, the insult. It was just so glorious. He came to school like, check it out, Michael Jackson jacket. You idiot. What the hell are you wearing? Oh, that was the best.
He was like Corey Feldman in Rock and Roll High School Part 2.
Rock and Roll High School Part 2 is almost as good as Rock and Roll High School Part 1.
I don't think they both suck. Yeah, Part 2 is definitely embarrassing. But
yes, they both suck very hard.
Charles Barkley before Game 2, Celtics-Bucks, predicted that the Bucks were going to eliminate the Celtics in the first round. He said they're going to beat them. They're just better with all of the injuries. He said, what's interesting about Boston is those players that guys talk about who are good players, Horford, Brown, and Tatum, they all have to cook their own meals now. It ain't the same when you have Kyrie out there or Gordon Hayward who hasn't been there. People don't understand everybody can't just get the ball and say, score. That's what makes guys superstars. Those guys are going to have their own shots, and it's not going to be easy. So he was pressed on it. He goes, well, listen, if Boston's going to win this series, it's not going to be Jaylen Brown or Tatum. It has to be Al Horford. He's a max player. He's a veteran guy. He's the guy who has to step up if the Celtics are going to win. So Kenny Smith pointed out that Horford was technically supposed to be Boston's third best player and is now their best player. He said, listen, the guy made the All-Star team. Why shouldn't you expect him to be an All-Star? Barkley said that he has to average over 20 points for the Celtics to have a chance in the series. And that's when Kenny Smith said, well, right now he averages 12.9 a game. And to that, Barkley said, they made me retire when I was averaging that many points.
Yeah, I actually saw that live.
That's actually pretty funny.
How many points is Al Horford averaging through the first two games of the series?
Ooh, I'm going to say 23?
20 on the nose. Okay.
All right. There you go. So Barkley's getting his way, or actually not getting his way, but he said he has to average over 20 points. He's right there. Now, there was a funny moment, however, during halftime, during yesterday's game. Here's Charles Barkley when something was going on, apparently offset.
Here you go first. Two things about this. I want to see how New Orleans was going. Hey!
Oh, we're doing Charles, a showdown here.
TV is, showdown here.
Charles is yelling at Hal Galima, Batman, who's in a conversation with someone.
Hello. He's in a conversation with the volume box, Hal.
He got voices in his head. Talk to him on your own time, Hal.
Well, two things about this game.
So in the middle of a show, highly rated show, someone just talking off the mic. And
nothing wrong with that.
You know,
Zolak can come in here with the mats from your car.
Well, Statman obviously knows Zolak. Yeah, why does he bring his mats in here?
To air him out.
All right, well, that's
I would
stupid.
I imagine it's more of an OCD situation than anything else.
You think?
Else.
Maybe it is.
Yes, I'm guessing so.
Well, the top-selling jerseys of the NBA season right now at number one, can anyone guess?
Tyler Zeller.
Tyler Zeller is number two. Okay.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No, not Giannis Antetokounmpo. No, all the kids, they all love Steph Curry. He's at number one. LeBron James at number two. Kevin Durant coming in at number three.
Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk is actually tied for number three. At number four, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
You wear a Kelly Olynyk shirt, and then it makes you seem like 10 times more attractive.
And coming, that's right. It's just, you know,
the
by
girl
comparison.
Goes like, ah, what the hell?
They see your chest first, and they go, oh, it's Kelly Olynyk. And they look up and go, oh, at least it's not Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, they go like, ah, what are you, a model?
And Kyrie Irving coming in at number five. And as far as teams, the Boston Celtics coming in at number five. And just how douchey is this? Even with an awful roster, the Los Angeles Lakers sold the fourth most amount of merchandise. 76ers at number three, Cavaliers at two, and the Golden State Warriors, to nobody's surprise, at number one.
Yeah, the kids love the Steph Curry stuff.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
My son, who's watched probably about a total of 5 minutes of basketball in his entire life, adorned with Steph Curry merchandise.
Mine too. I have one that loves Steph Curry. We were out, we had to buy a new basketball, and I'm like, all right, here's the perfect brown one. It's an indoor-outdoor ball. My kid goes right over to the Steph Curry ball with the big SC on it.
28.5?
What's that?
28.5?
It's come on. A full ball. What? Oh, what was
come on now!
All right, Jim. Hang on.
28.5. That's what you need
is that
to
the
use.
Full ball? Yes.
No.
It's
a youth ball.
No. I got him a bigger one. He wanted a bigger one. He wanted the bigger
ball.
But
that's not what you play with. You're the worst, Dad.
How am I the worst?
Because you want to practice with a big ass ball that he's not going to use until eighth grade?
That's what he wanted. I tried to get him sell him on the
smaller
one.
So he does whatever he wants.
No, he just not runs rough shots. That's right. I have no discipline in the house. He watches TV whenever he wants. He plays video games wherever he wants. He eats cake for dinner. That's what I do.
Well, you got him the wrong ball. Now he's going to go. Now he's going to go into games and he's going to be shooting that thing over the backboard.
He's going to be completely lost.
We got a hoop. We got a hoop in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We have a solid 4 feet.
What'd you nail that to?
Not
backyard.
It's one of the ones in the pool.
I'm just picturing your backyard. There isn't a lot of room out there. I'm just wondering, where does the backboard go exactly?
Oh, if you can take 4 feet, you can go 4 feet to the side out there. And if you drive to the hoop, you better be careful because there's about a 3 foot wall.
Your boy's going to be lost outside the dotted line, I have a feeling.
Well, you can take deep threes.
From the other guy's yard, yeah.
No.
Stand behind the fence and shoot from there.
All right. Well, listen. That's Newton you're talking about.
Right.
In my
where
backyard.
Land is plentiful.
Well, I have a backyard. Not a lot of it. It's fenced in. You can play fetch with the dog.
Correct. As long as the dog doesn't go skidding into the fence 8 feet from you.
No, that backyard is fine. There's just not enough brick.
Sure.
If I could put a full court in my backyard.
You could, but then have room for what else?
I don't know. John, I don't live in Natick in your mansion.
That's right.
I don't have a two-income family.
You should have moved west.
Well, my wife,
this problem.
My wife does work in
a toy store.
Wife
wants a bigger house as it is, right? So that's what we talked about.
Well, you know what? My wife works at a toy store, so it's rolling in on her end.
Sure.
I mean, that W-2, I was like, woo! All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
The Sports Hub.
Mary Schertenlieb is a 42-year-old mother of two who has battled cancer three times. Doctors warn it would be tough to try the Boston Marathon given her compromised immune system, especially in Monday's punishing rain and cold. But Schertenlieb was determined to run to raise money for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. At mile 15, her body began breaking down. She was told to stop with concerns over hypothermia. she went to the medical tent. And after calling her husband, they decided she should go home. A few hours later, however, Mary went back on the course, this time with her husband by her side. And early this morning, shortly after midnight, Mary approached the finish line, crossing at 12:18 a.m., more than 15 hours after the first runners started the race.
She's been amazing, and I'm just, every day I'm inspired by her.
It wasn't the photo finish she expected, but it was about the best one we can imagine.
You could do anything. It may not be how you imagined it playing out, but you could still get it done.
Congrats, Mary. You inspire all of us.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and of course Scott Zolak. He was just around here, and now he's gone.
We have raised, by the way, thanks to all the press that Mary got yesterday. It as of this morning, it's now over $40,000. So thank you for everyone who saw the story yesterday and ended up donating to Dana Farber. You can go to @TucherandRich. I put it back up there. Listen, the press was neat, and it made, you know, Mary feel real good. But the main thing is she just wanted to raise more money. So if you go to @TucherandRich, you can click on the link to the Dana Farber page, and hopefully even more will come in before the end of the day. So thank you very much to everyone who donated. And big thanks to Dan Roach, who made this a story because it blew up thanks to him being at the finish line. What a nice guy. He wears Disney socks. He's a nice guy.
He is very, very, very nice. That's why he loves Disney World so much. Well, apparently Scott Zolak's not coming in. Oh, here he is.
What is happening?
He is he's adjusting the temperature. It's not to his liking.
There's a lot of hot air in here.
Wait, you need hot air?
No, he says it's too much.
It's too warm?
Too warm.
6 to 10, Scott. That hot in here? Huh?
Well, it gets hot in here.
Oh, you know what gets hot? When Dan Roach is filling in, he gets up, and his seat is on fire because his ass is so wide and hot.
Yeah.
Oh, does he have a wide ass?
He's sneaky out of shape.
He's got sneaky, fat guy, white ass.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, all the weight goes to his ass. It's like Jamelli. Like, it's the most unfortunate thing. Because you have almost a woman's build.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Jamelli. Like, is he size 4 or 6? You know, somewhere in between.
I think he rocks mom jeans. He needs a little elasticity.
He's like the guy I do this with Sosie on away games. Like, we're sitting together. And I'm sitting there. Anybody, you know, the buses get tight. And, hey, Bob, let's go. Get in there. I'll spread out. You know? Jamelli's, yeah. Me and you, we can fly together. Like one of my kids. I got a 9-year-old that's bigger than you. Oh. I do. You should come out and play with him.
That's right. Your boy wants to put on the pads, right?
This is the year. So I need to get people his size. I try to get Hardy's kids over. We're going to put the old high school helmets on him. And we're going to start working on tackling. Because you can't use the head now. The kids. So yeah. Shoulders. I need him to shoulder people. I need him around. I'm going to move cover 2, cover 3, in and out.
Is he playing yet?
He's been playing flag. He wants to play. He wants to put the pads on this year.
It's fall, baby.
How many kids want to put the pads on at that age?
All boys.
Do they want to do it?
Boys do, yeah.
Because I've been reading everything that it's getting to the point where everyone wants to play flag until they're like 8th grade.
I think it's whatever people want to do. It's up to you.
He's in what grade?
He's in 3rd.
Wow, there's 3rd graders that want to play tackle football.
He's also 110 pounds. In our town, dude. We got the Mighty Mites that have helmets on.
I can't.
They barely keep their heads
up. His kid is 110 pounds, keep in mind.
Zolak's kid's huge, but I thought the sheer amount of kids who wanted to play tackle football was in the toilet when it comes to being at that age.
Scott, you know what town it like has a juggernaut, and you would never think it, but there's a town with like a guy who played for the Giants or something that runs this program is Wellesley.
Apparently, Wellesley's very good, good youth program.
Yeah, Fix. Wellesley,
exceptional.
Yeah, apparently Wellesley.
Yeah. I ain't moving there.
I know kids that. I know kids that play.
I like size of my house.
Yeah. Yeah, just decrease that.
Go live in a shoebox.
Yeah, decrease that by about.
But it's so convenient to everything. I hear that all the time. You ever see the traffic in downtown?
They don't. And you can't buy liquor.
I saw something up on Main Street a week ago.
It sucks. It's awful. Isn't it dry too?
It took me.
Yeah, it's dry. For restaurants.
I went right to the Pike. I went 16 past the hospital.
Yep.
Yeah. The marathon route.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through downtown Wellesley to the other side to pick something up for lacrosse. They have a lacrosse store downtown, one of the nice swanky joints. It took me 27 minutes to get there from the hospital. There's so much traffic on freaking Route 16.
Yeah, it's nuts. Awful.
So if I do move here and pay the extra to move here, I still would have to sit here to here for a half hour as opposed to just hammering half hour on the Pike to get home. I'll take that one.
All right.
Whatever.
Yeah, Wellesley, the big program.
Be happy where you are, people. That's what the Bible tells you.
Is that what it says?
That's in Leviticus.
Should not covet thy neighbor or his wife or his property.
Yeah.
Zoe 316.
That's right. My mom's birthday, 316.
She's a holy
and thou
woman.
Shalt giveth you unicorns and show ponies.
Shall taketh thy horn off thy horse and mount it on another.
All right. What do you guys got going today, Mr. Zolak?
Brady.
There it is.
I'm pissed at Schefter. So she had tweeted us out at like 7 last night. Could have done nothing. Just went to bed, not watched anything, and just came in today.
Yeah. Well, Schefter, you know what? You got something to talk about. That's
we
for
got
sure.
Any guests? We don't need any guests today. I don't want guests. I don't all want right. guests on days like this.
You're going to fire it through, baby.
Fired up there.
All right. We back tomorrow. Bye.